Oh, do you remember one Smith? No, no, the Donna.
Well, councillors, welcome. This is the ordinary council meeting for Wednesday, the 10th of December 2025 at 2 p.m. commencement, and we are at the Kempton Municipal Offices at 85 Main Street in Kempton. To this matter, or this meeting, in accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation, I must advise all attendees that A, this meeting is being recorded, B, all persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and C, language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. We're going to commence the council meeting as usual with prayers, and we welcome the Reverend Dennis Cousin to recite those. Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and good afternoon, everybody. Great to be here with you again as we had a busy year. I think I had a little bit of a hiatus in the year, but it was it's gone rather quickly. For some, it's gone quite hard, as we know, of people who have lost loved ones throughout this year. And from our deputy mayor, Karen's mum, and two of the others who are known to you. I was just advised a moment ago of a Wayne Smith here at Kempton, who has lived here probably all of his life, has passed away just in this last week. And just think of his family and as they all come close to this Christmas time. I had the honour and the privilege to officiate at a service of celebration for Cam Meeburn from the Oaklands area, and Cam had been a farmer out there, and many Meeburn members of the family have had farms and still remain in that area. And Cam and his wife Pat moved to Kettering in the year early 2000, but it was great opportunity to be able to share with his family yesterday. So we think of all those who have lost loved ones, and we think of those who have some emotional and different feelings throughout this period as Christmas comes. I'd like to conclude with a prayer poem from Michael Lewing, and I've used Michael's prayers quite often throughout this year, and probably for other years as well, Michael Lewing being an Australian poet. And it's titled Christmas. You may fit into one of these categories, or you may know of somebody who does, or that may have been your aim and hope and still is, and it begins. It's Christmas. Dear God, it is timely that we give thanks for the lives of all prophets and teachers and healers and revolutionaries, living and dead, acclaimed or obscure, who have rebelled, worked and suffered for the cause of love and joy. We also celebrate that part of us, that part within ourselves, which has rebelled, worked and suffered for the cause of love and joy. We give thanks and we celebrate. We ask for blessings upon those that are known to us within this community who are unwell, for those who are suffering losses, their personal losses, for those who are celebrating new life and all that that holds, with the birth of a child, with a new stage in the life of the person. And as we come to this time of Christmas, may we enjoy the company of each other and rejoice in all that we have to offer. As we do, we remember the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Blessings to each and every one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Meet you next year.
Yeah. Thank you. Item 2, acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and to community. We pay respects to elders, past and present. Our attendance of councillors is complete and we have no apologies. The minutes of the ordinary council meeting, which was held here, held at on the 26th of November, 25, have been circulated. I'm seeking that someone move they be confirmed. Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Thanks, Councillor Fish. Any issues? Put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Special committee of council.
I move.
Thank you. In relation to Woodsdale, Baghdad and Lake Dolverton, and move Councillor Campbell, second of the deputy. The minutes of those special committees of council be received. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. And then there's some endorsements and recommendations for those.
Who?
Second. Councillor Business, second. Councillor Blackwell. I'll put the motion unless there's any discussion about that. Is there any discussion? No? Very good. Those in favour? Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Moving across then to the joint authorities, that one is the one that needs to be received, is from TAS Waste South, the 24-25 annual report. Is there a move?
Moved.
Thank you, Councillor Fiston.
Seconded.
Seconded. The deputy?
No.
I stand, Councillor Blackwell. Any discussion about that? No? Very good. I'll put the motion of that report. Be received. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. In relation to the workshop, there hasn't been a workshop in this month to date, obviously, because of the shortened period for this meeting on the 1st of December. We'll have a formal notation that that information be received if there hasn't been one. Thanks very much, Deputy.
Thank you.
Second, Councillor Blackwell, those in favour? Thank you. Councillors, question time on notice. There isn't any questions on notice. Questions without notice.
Yep. Can I, is that for the audience to ask questions or
no? No. Councillors, question? Yes, Councillor.
The old shop at Colebrook, the veranda in a poor state of repair. Where are we at with that? When is it likely to get repaired or rebuilt?
I have to take that question on notice. If you can recall, I think it advised at the last meeting that the property owner has been communicating with our heritage and building people and has also been talking with the Heritage Council in terms of the works to be undertaken. But in terms of the current status and time frame, I'd have to take that on notice.
But there are a lot of people getting cranky down there.
It's private property.
Yes.
It's private property over a council footpath.
Mm.
But it is in a poor state of repair, yes.
It's fenced off currently though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it doesn't pose an immediate danger to anyone.
All right. When you're on notice for the next meeting in relation to
that. Time frame.
Any other matters?
You can move on.
Councillor Fish?
I like to fill in on what's happened to the chimney in the old courthouse. How the chimney fell away.
Can the manager of works help me?
Yes, Councillor Fish, it's currently under repair. They've had some cracking, etc. So we would wish you a
good.
It's happening as we speak, it's almost complete.
Ah, good. No more for me.
Just apologies for missing the last meeting. I just couldn't change an appointment that I waited 6 months for. But what I did want to raise last meeting, and obviously this meeting, is there seems to be quite a lot of petty crime in the Campania area at the moment. So just be keen to see what we can do in order to, you know, get some additional police attention down there, particularly on the weekends. Lots of sheds are being broken into on a weekly basis, and, you know, obviously lots of power tools and things like that seem to be the primary objective of much of this. But, you know, every week I hear two or three people that have, you know, had their sheds broken into and you know, all their tools liberated. So it'd be good if we could get some idea of what's actually happening and how we can, you know, get some increased attention in that area. And just the other thing is, in regards, and I might touch upon it when we get on to the flour mill park stuff, but quite a few people have expressed an interest in the acquisition of the flour mill building, and they've also offered their services in order to facilitate the construction of a new facility at the school. And how would they go about sort of doing that in order to, you know, reduce the cost of that to the council?
Well, let's deal with the first question first. That's can we raise awareness of crime in Campania with the local police?
Certainly don't disagree with it, but there is, you'd probably describe it as petty crime, but a lot of minor theft, vandalism. I know that we have upped our communications with the police, Richmond, the Richmond police officer, and that also extends to Cyril. Don't disagree that it is an issue, and we have been certainly reporting every incident that we're aware of, so they're aware of it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same couple of people that are doing it.
And the other question was in relation to
how can people contribute to the construction of the new facility at the school in order to cheapen the acquisition of the
building? I think that question can best be answered and also discussed when we get to that report on the agenda for the Flower Park.
Do you happy with that?
Yep, that's fine. Yep, no
problem.
Fine, thanks.
I'm fine, thank you. And so am I.
Okay.
You're limited to two, right?
I
don't know how
the last one. Well, I can raise the same one again. The loose paver that I'm about to sue the council over when I broke my ankle in front of the Kempton Hall, not fixed.
There's one other learned gentleman, myself, and we drove past and we slowed down, stopped and looked, and we couldn't see the paper, so don't leave today without pointing out its location.
I will do that. There's a couple of other
one learned gentleman being up behind you.
There's a couple of eagle-eyed citizens in Kempton who could help you as well. I guess now, this is whether it was quite serious or not, but the member for Lions, from the Hunters, Shooters and Fishers Party, asked me to check whether or not we've made any progress on having the mill at Oakmans declared a UNESCO site, as he recommended we do, and therefore get
We haven't progressed in the nomination to become the UNESCO site, and I'd probably assume that it wouldn't be successful. However, emphasising the importance of the Kempton Mill Precinct, as we chatted at the last council meeting, we did lodge a submission as part of the Tasmanian Government budget consultation process, seeking an annual contribution from the state government to assist with the asset renewal within the precinct.
And we haven't got a response?
No. Well, we got an acknowledgement what sort of response we'll probably wait and see whether anything's earmarked in the budget.
I'll just put the little stadium too, my dad. That's much money left over.
I can guarantee this was called off. We did have a bit of a, if you nominated something new, you actually had to identify as part of your submission where the funding was going to come from. So
who was going to miss out?
That's a little bit challenging when you're looking at the Tasmanian budget and saying, well, cut this and cut that. And but anyway, we put it up.
Yeah, we've done our best. Are there any declarations of pecuniary interest? Councillors are required to nominate if they have or are likely to have a pecuniary interest in any item on the agenda. Is there any councillor in that position? No? Very good. Are there any supplementary items to the agenda?
No.
No? Very good. Do you have any questions on that? No. I think we'll keep on going until we get to 2:30.
Possibly not. We're in a bit of a dilemma that if some of the questions relate to...
Oh, it's what jumped.
No. I don't think we can certainly do question time for those that are here, but then prepared to take
the time it overruns, it should give people time to get here anyway.
Sorry.
But the time you start it...
Well, that's right. There's a 15-minute period, so we'll certainly be into 2:30. In accordance with the requirements of Part 2, Division 4 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, we're going to now make provision for public question time. So we're in a position now to receive any questions from members of the public. If you wish to ask a question, just put your hand up. The issue for me as the chairperson to be sure about is that the... I don't know whether Councillor Bisbee, you could maybe angle your chair just a little bit. That's all right. Just, it gives people a bit of...
You're in the public gallery, Mr.
We are limited to questions, so not statements. So you're more than happy to ask. I'm more than happy to receive questions. And we will do our best to answer them. But we don't have debates, we have questions. So yes, you're the first.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Councillors, thank you. A couple of very simple questions, polite questions, and simple answers, I hope.
And can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Is that all right? Sorry?
Can you just introduce yourself?
My name is Robert McFusian. I live at 109 Midlands Highway, Mangala, which is otherwise known as Wybra Hall, which you might all know. I've been a resident here for, I think, 35 years. Okay. I'll just address it today. And it relates to simple question. The planner, in a response to the development application for the youth justice facility, has said that the site is rural and the buildings, which is a high security jail, is a sensitive use and is bordered by both agricultural and rural zones. So, according to the council interpretation of the Planning Act and the scheme, the setback has to be 200 metres from the cow in the next paddock, but only 5 metres from the adjoining houses. If I ask Mr. Grant and to Louisa, is this the right interpretation, or is there a reasonable doubt, but it is questionable, that the setback has to be 200 metres to the cow in the agricultural paddock, but 5 metres to the residences?
Yes, just take a seat, we'll get an answer.
Is it reasonable, or is there doubt there? It could, when you consider that...
It's all right, you don't need to go on.
I wasn't a party to that discussion, but you were, Grant.
I'm happy to answer through the mayor. Certainly, the development standards are under the rural zone that prescribe setbacks, so you are correct. All buildings require a 5 metre setback from front, side, or rear boundary. The separation distance you refer to relates to an adjoining agricultural use.
Okay. That's because it's a sensitive.
Have you got another question to ask now?
Sorry?
Have you got another question to ask now?
Okay, yes, okay. Tasmanian Botanics Botanicals. The application has misrepresented by classifying Tasmanian botanicals.
Well, we want a question, not a statement.
What if that's going to do? There is a question.
Yes.
There is a question. As an agricultural processing plant, and it's got an attenuation zone of 100 metres. But in fact, it's been misrepresented. It's an organic chemical works which has an attenuation zone of 500 metres. Is the council aware of this and what action is it taking?
Well, firstly, the building that you refer to is not in our municipality.
Yep. I understand.
Okay. So it's very difficult for us to make any comment about whether there's a council awareness about anything because it's not our building within our municipality. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand.
Okay, well that's one answer that we can give. You ask whether or not we're aware of it.
And what action you're taking?
Well, as I say, it's not in our municipality, so we're not aware of it, and we wouldn't be taking any action because it's not our building or our issue from the Southern Midlands point of view.
But the code and the thing out tells you that if it's within 500 metres, you have to act on it, you have to mitigate.
Now, you're involving yourself in an argument.
Okay, sorry.
I'm just going to refer that to Mr. Ping, who's the planning officer.
Through Mr. Mayor, certainly the applicants have given a response in relation to the attenuation code, particularly C9.5.2. There's no insinuation at all that the activity you refer to, Robert, is a chemical works on definition. Council has assessed the application on the basis that it's a resource processing activity, and with that, the code prescribes a 100-meter setback from that activity. The planners report has addressed this in some detail. Council has sought qualification from the applicant, who has liaised with, I believe, Taz Botanics. There's certain comfort around the fact that this does not qualify, in the collective opinions, as a chemical works. Therefore, the 500-meter setback would not apply.
Very interesting. Next question.
I wonder whether or not there's anybody else who wants to ask questions. Take a seat for a moment, and I'll just see whether you've had two. I'm more than happy to have a seat, but I don't want to let you hog the whole show. Are there any other persons who wanted to ask questions? Yes, by all means.
Sorry, my name's Jamie Knight. I live in Brooksby, which is, by twist of fate, I'm the representative of John James Butler and Pamela Butler, who have been there for quite a long time. And this development absolutely upsets our family name, to put it mildly, and it's totally out of keeping with the character of the area. But you do.
So, are there any questions?
Yes, there are questions. Yes.
Okay.
So, can you tell me, of people writing to you about this development, a rough percentage of for and against? Is it like 10% of people said, yeah, it's great, and 90% said, no way, or 50-50, or 60-40? Can you give us a feel for that?
I would say of the 118, all had a negative view of the development.
Okay, next question. Does the council consider itself a democratic representative body?
Well, we are. We're voted on by people.
Yes, that's right. You're meant to be represented, democratic representatives. If you vote in favour of this, are you representing those that vote for you, as represented by those letters that have come to you?
Well, I think the issue that we have to decide is whether or not this development complies with the planning laws.
Is the fact that one of them was outside planning rules already?
No, you're having an argument. I'm just giving you an answer.
Well,
to be fair, I'm saying that, first of all, our function is to determine whether or not, because as a planning authority we're sitting, we're not sitting as a council, we're sitting as a planning authority when we deal with this matter. And the councillors, when in that planning authority, have to make a decision as to whether or not the development complies with the planning laws. And that's what we have to apply. It's not a situation where we can say, 100 people are in favour of it or against it, 5,000 people are for it. We've got to do what, you know, the number of people, the balance of people want. Nothing like that is the sort of consideration that we have to make, unfortunately, or fortunately. We're creatures of statute. We only exist because of government statute, and we have to apply the law.
But in this case, it is discretionary.
No, it's not. It's not discretionary in the terms of whether or not the majority of people want it or don't want it. That doesn't influence our necessary our discretion. It's not based on a vote for or a vote against, and the number for or number against.
All right. Well, in your discretionary ability of planning, do you think those that come into an institution for rehabilitation help, probably coming from backgrounds with drugs and smell drugs, and anybody that's done any science, any medicine knows that smell is one of the most powerful memory triggers of all, will be in a settling environment where they're in the stink, or at least the very strong smell of marijuana? Because you're saying, oh yes, out of planning rules, that doesn't count. That smell wafts over that flat regularly.
Yes.
It is covered in it.
Can I add to what you said?
No.
So you do not consider...
You're making a statement now, which I'm...
No, I'm asking you what you're considering that little stressor and planning.
Yep.
Have you considered it?
The issue of odour is considered and has been considered, and I'll hand over to the... Mr. King, or
yes, council has taken into consideration adjoining land uses, and we have looked at the attenuation code, and we've looked at it very vigorously in terms of the types of activities that are listed in the code, and TAS botanicals falls outside of the attenuation area for this development, therefore it is not taken into consideration.
So basically you're saying you have a piece of paper that says, oh la la la, who cares?
Yeah.
When the reality is the odour is present.
Extremely present.
And I think, I'm sorry to be so rigid about this, but it does have to be a question rather than a statement. I appreciate where you're coming from. We all understand what you're saying. But as I say, we have to apply the planning laws in relation to this. Yes,
did you want to add something further? I can help maybe James with part of the answer. The setting issue lies with maybe the adjoining council. To level one activity, they are required to manage that activity under NCAA. So quite possibly that council could or should look at issuing EPNs to avoid really mitigate that odour.
This makes me think of, like, back in the day, Devonport, there was a mushroom farm. Land around the mushroom farm was cheap, so people bought the land because it was cheap, and they got sick of the stinks, so they got the mushroom farm closed down.
Okay.
And that's really fair on the mushroom farm. Now, here we have a situation where we have an established business, it's in place, it produces an odour, that odour could have a serious impact on a new proposition. They're going to say it's not a fault for us to filter it out. What, they get forced to close down?
Yeah, no.
They're meant to be planned.
I do have to be a bit rigorous about it. I understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying. But this is a question and answer time, not a statement time. And I have to deal with it on that basis. So, are there further questions? Yes?
I'm just wondering why council have not contacted Heritage Tasmania or the Heritage Council in regards to the impact that this particular development will have on the heritage in the area, given the fact that years ago a precedent was set by the RPDC then. We fought a case with the council against an inappropriate development which was not on heritage land. It was on rural land, and the RPDC thought if our area was significant enough in heritage and important enough to grant
Sorry, Your question,
the question
really is, why haven't we contacted...
Why haven't you contacted Heritage Tasmania?
Yes, I think that can be very quickly answered, but I'll hand it over to...
Well, can I also add to that? To Kerry?
No, you can't add to that.
The property in question, 466 Brighton Road, is not a registered Heritage Tasmanian property. It is not in the Heritage Code. Therefore, the Tasmanian planning scheme does not require council to notify Heritage Tasmania of the development.
There's your answer. Any other questions?
Yes.
I'm banning you for a minute. I'll get back to you. Is there any other persons that... Yes, down the back.
I'm not from this council area, I'm from Brighton.
That's all right.
My name's Pat Burton, and I sort of represent a couple of different organisations that have put in, applied against the development application. And you made the purpose clear that this is not an opportunity for anyone to make a statement.
No, it's a question time.
I wouldn't have realised it.
Yeah.
You might have thought of the same. And my question, I have prepared a short statement, so number one, am I able to table that at this meeting?
Well, look, I don't mind if you table the question.
Thank you.
If that helps.
Well, the only question I can probably put to you is the fact that as a council, how do you consider the social benefit or otherwise of the children that will be incarcerated in this council jurisdiction? Because there's...
The difficulty about that is that it plainly falls outside of the considerations of planning. And I agree with you, what goes on inside this building is the most important thing. And how the programs are developed and how the children and young people are developed, managed, progressed is something which is unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, but it's not an issue for our council to make a deliberation about. We're all hopeful with the amount of money and the ideas that have been put forward in relation to developing this building, that what goes on inside it will be very, very vastly different from what went on at Ashley. But we are, as I say, in the hands of those persons who make those sorts of decisions about the services within the building. And it's not something that's been considered by council. Is that a fair answer, or am I...?
The model of care is not a material consideration for the... It's a planning authority. It's not like approving a dwelling house and then providing rules around how the family conducts themselves. That's how I would draw the analogy.
Thanks, Pat. Is there anything else that you want to ask?
Probably not right at the moment.
Yep. Thank you very much for that. And look, I appreciate people's concerns about this. Let's face it, what we're trying to do here, well, not that we are, but what the government is trying to do here is build a facility to help the most vulnerable people in our community, and they're putting a lot of money in it. Whether they're on the right track in the way the services are going to be provided is another matter, but worth just having a go. I'm going to answer further questions, yes?
I'm Jamie Nye, I'm the wife of Jamie, and we live right next door. My question is why, what's the point in planning something when the whole surrounding will be kind of set as a failure of the planning you're doing? Because, there are gun clubs in the area, the marijuana plantation, the whiskey distillery, and you're planning within that something that should heal people, that makes to us no sense at all. So what's your answer for that?
Well, I haven't...
The shooting you hear all the time. Sunday, all day shooting, Monday, Wednesday, sometimes Saturday, and you hear that in the buildings. is smoothly here that all the time Ramchat sometimes
so
very
the
time,
I understand your question. What you're asking is, has the noise of the gun club been taken into consideration? Yes? Yeah? Did you want to answer that?
Yes, sure.
Yeah?
Yes, it has. So as part of the attenuation code assessment, combined with the noise assessment, which was part of the application documents, it has been identified that the Hobart Clay Shooting Gun Club, I've got that right, will generate noise on the property, and that the noise emission can be mitigated within the structures.
Try and restrict this to question answers. You have the answer. I think that's
not believable.
I think the issue, well, I don't know whether it's not believable.
We live in a sandstone house with walls that thick, and we can hear a shotgun pop. I've not played this game since I was a kid, it's part of my background in my life. But not many buildings are built like.
There is a science to this, which the hearing and sound specialists have applied. And there's a rating of loudness, number of decibels, and how that should be applied to different age groups and people. And they have, in the report that we received, and I'm sure you've all read it as well, have made assessments about that sound level and have indicated that it's reasonable.
But it's not the sound level, it's the trigger. Even if you hear gunshots far away, if you are a traumatized person, that will trigger you again.
Well, obviously, they are psychological issues which we haven't got any evidence about here, but I appreciate what you're saying.
That's common sense, really.
You think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any comments that you wanted to make about the noise level that I missed or not?
We didn't receive any representations from gun club interests at all. Council has not, over any length of time, had any objections or complaints in relation to noise from the gun club, from those that live in proximity. Yes, it's an existing activity, it's been there for some time, exists under a fairly historic consent granted back in the 70s. We're aware that the gun clubs provide notification to those approximately well in advance of scheduled events. We've had no complaints at all regarding the conduct of those gun clubs.
May I respond to that, Greg?
I'm not going to allow a debate. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be too harsh about it, but we won't stop if we do that. I'm going to allow some more questions. Yeah. Did you want to have another one?
Can I have a few more questions?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple more.
A few more questions. In relation to the gun noise, have you addressed the fact that they have mitigated the noise inside the building but have made no attempt to mitigate the noise outside the buildings, considering that the people there are going to have mental health issues and the noise level is not a noise level that's acceptable for kids or adults to hurt their hearing, which is acceptable for acoustic stuff. It's a mental health issue, but the noise will actually affect the health and well-being of kids that have got severe mental problems, health problems, and by the act that you have to abide by, the act actually governs the planning scheme. The act says that you are responsible in planning to look at the health, well-being and safety of all people in Tasmania. So the fact that they haven't mitigated the noise or even attempted to mitigate the noise in the outside areas and the mental health issue, but you're putting these kids through and you know that, and you are supposed to follow and promote the objectives in Schedule 1.
I'm just trying to find the question.
Have you taken into consideration what you've been told to do in the Act as far as the objectives of the Act is Schedule 1, but you are to protect the health, well-being and safety of all Tasmanians when you're talking about these kids that have got mental health issues.
Okay, thank you.
Have you done that?
Yes.
Forget about attenuation.
No, I understand that. I understand your question. Yes.
So when you're talking about the Act, I'm assuming that you're talking about the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act.
Schedule 1 of the Act.
The Land Use Planning and Approvals Act is a suite of legislation and documents in which the planning scheme in Tasmania operates under. In this context, here today, this development application will be assessed under the Tasmanian planning scheme, which falls within the umbrella of legislative documents and acts. So, for the scale of this development, it is assessed under the Tasmanian planning scheme.
I have to ask questions, but the objective, the thing that governs you as councillors has to be that you have to promote the objectives of the Act. That is your duty as councillors.
Yes, no, you don't need to lecture us about that. Are there any other questions?
I've got more questions, please.
Yes. Okay. Oh, and there's a lady there, you had three or four, this last question.
And the other thing is, if it's getting built, this development, if it goes ahead, then does council consider that everyone in the area close by, their value, the property value will go right down, and try to sell properties? A lot of people won't buy your property because no one wants to live close to a prison. So would we get compensation for that?
But I can say that you wouldn't get compensation
for
that.
Of course not.
And I can also say that that's not a planning consideration.
What is?
Am I right in that?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
It is the tomorrow one.
Well,
I know, so for our mental health compensation.
Yeah, the only other thing I might say too in relation to property values, I'm not a real estate agent at all, but I guess the issues here from a planning perspective is in relation to how that building is to be proceeded with, and the surrounding areas may be beautified in some way, which might help.
Yeah, six metre of security.
There's always a balancing act in relation to that. But as I say, I'm not a real estate agent, it's not a planning issue.
Question?
Yes, another question.
Why haven't you followed your own procedure? In your own, this is on your website, in your own strategic heritage procedure, and it says that this is on your website, your heritage procedure, or strategic heritage procedure, to ensure rigorous heritage assessment are undertaken on statutory planning process. This is your website. This is part of your procedure. Why? You have said that
I think we've already given a reason for that. But anyway, I'll just see whether or not we can. Yes, Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You're referring to the strategy 2018 to 2023, I believe. With respect, it doesn't form a statutory document. It's a statutory document.
But it's your procedure. It's your.
It does debate. Procedure. This is the answer.
We are required to provide an assessment and determination under the Land Use Planning Approvals Act and the Tasmanian Planning Scheme. That sits outside of that framework.
But why have it in there?
As the planner has suggested, heritage is not a consideration by virtue of this site sits outside of, it's not a listed property, doesn't contain listed features. Heritage is not a consideration at all.
But the Act says in the objectives that you have to preserve the significant historic properties and areas and settlements. The Act tells you that, which you're supposed to uphold. And then it's adjacent, like across the Rifle Lane Road is a heritage area, right across the other side of Rifle Lane Road, 50 metres away.
That's a different LGA. That's not our council area.
It doesn't matter, it's with you.
All right, now, is there any other...
One more question.
One more question, yes.
Okay. Given the fact that there will be high-risk juveniles in this facility, and this does not relate to attenuation zones or anything like that, and being exposed to cannabis fumes daily. The Planning Act says, and this is what you're supposed to hold in the thing, to promote the health and well-being of all Tasmanians to ensure pleasant, efficient, safe environment of working, living and recreation. And it also says that developments have to be suitable developments which enable people in the communities to provide for their social, economic, cultural well-being and their health and safety. When you are allowing, when there's, you know there's going to be children at risk that are drug addicts and have substance abuse problems, is it within, is it, you have not got the right to put them there because the Act says that you have to ensure their health and safety and well-being. So, have you taken that into consideration?
What?
That you're exposing at-risk children, that their at-risk children will be exposed and their health and safety will be compromised because the Act says you can't do that. And the Act, the planning scheme is governed by the Act. The planning scheme is an offshoot. The master document is the Act. And it is your job to uphold the objectives of the Act. That is your role. So, the kids are going to be there, they're going to be drug addicts, they're going to try to reform these drug addicts, and they're going to be, you're knowingly going to let them be exposed to marijuana fumes daily, and the Act tells you you can't do that.
All right, thank you.
So have you considered that statement? Please.
I think there has been a number of answers in relation to the odour issue.
Not the odour issue.
What you're saying is whether or not we've considered how young persons psychologically might react to smell
the health and well-being of people.
Yeah, I don't know whether we've considered that, haven't we?
I think you haven't. You cannot.
Don't keep going. We understand you.
No, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sorry.
The Tasmanian Climate Scheme assesses use and development.
I think the question is more focused around the model of care. It's a fair generalisation that they're all drug addicts.
The question relates to the land use plan and
the Act. I think we can't make assumptions about what the children are or the persons are.
We're not entitled to do that.
You know, I don't think we're entitled to make assumptions really about what does or doesn't affect them. Bottom line is, the service delivery within there is not something we're considering.
Mr. Mayor, the Minister has told us that there will be kids that are drug addicts trying to be rehabilitated. It's not an assumption. The Minister has told us that face to face. It's not about the planning scheme, it's about the Act.
Yeah, well, I think the Act says that we're not allowed to make assumptions, actually.
But the Act says you've got to involve your well-being.
Bit of a look at that.
It's not an assumption. The Minister has told us. And you know it's true.
Sorry, I'm just having a bit of a giggle about
To us, it's no big deal.
But it's also the kids, it's no big deal.
And the other thing is, we also our mental health, have you considered that? That we have to live in fear in our houses, have you considered that? Can you guarantee us that it's not going to be like an actual detention?
Well, I think we're getting beyond the issue of questions now. I'm sure there's been no guarantees given in relation to your mental health.
Yes, there won't be any guarantees.
I can't say that. All right, well, I think we've just about come to the end of question time.
Can I just ask a few more questions?
Yes.
I
don't mind doing that. Normally we allow 15 minutes for question time, but bearing in mind the interest in this matter, more than happy to.
So, as I asked before, and in sort of summary, this is discretionary approval. Is that approval by the councillors or by the administration side of council?
I can answer that question. So, it is a custodial facility in the discretionary use in the rural zone, and as there have been representations, council acts as the planning authority based on an assessment of the planning scheme and a recommendation. So it will be up to councillors today.
So I would like to ask the council this question. Given you are our democratic representatives, given you have heard from those that vote for you and you're supposed to represent, how can you vote in favour of this?
I think that's probably a comment more than that.
No, that's a question.
No, that's a question.
I'm not going to allow the question.
I might just reiterate the mayor's previous response that the council, in making a decision, is acting as the planning authority.
That's right.
It is not.
Well, then you're irrelevant. Where's the democracy in that?
All right. Thank you.
It's the planning system.
The planning system is you have discretion. You are elected representatives. Therefore, you.
But I think the mayor's answer in terms of responding to.
I don't want to get involved in a debate. I'm sorry.
I agree. Mr. Mayor, one more question.
This will be the last question.
Okay. I'm an industrial chemist by profession, University of New South Wales.
I asked a question.
Is it right to document the Botanica plant? You cannot say, I can tell you that it is a chemical processing plant. I'm an industrial chemist. It is not a farm process, it is not an online, whatever you want to call it. It is an organic chemical process. I'm an industrial chemist. So what I can ask you is, what is your reaction to me saying that I'm a chemist and I classify that as a professional, as an industrial chemical, organic chemical processing plant? You cannot, I don't think you can say against me, but I'm a qualified person.
You don't need to back up your qualifications. You've asked a question.
Can I ask you
why is it not classified?
Can you challenge
the crowd, please?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Mr. Mayor.
You've asked the question, why is it not classified as a chemical producing operation?
No, that's not the question I asked you. Can you question my telling you, as a chemist, that it is a...
I'm not allowing that.
Can you challenge me on my description? I'm not allowing that question.
It doesn't have anything to do with council activities. So I'm not allowing it. All right.
First of all, Ben, thank you very much for listening to us. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry we've raised our voice.
No.
But to councillors, Mayor, I do thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, that concludes question time. Thank members of the public for their participation. I don't think there's been any motions that. So we should go now to item 12, which is in fact council acting as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 and council statutory land use planning scheme. And this is in relation to a development application. This session of council sitting as a planning authority. This is 12.1, development applications, and we have a development application DA250186 for a custodial facility of 466 Brighton Road, Pondville, owned by the Crown. Senior Planning Officer, Ms. Brown. Do you want to take us through the report, or has it been tabled?
I certainly will.
Speak to us, thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, councillors. Council is in receipt of the development application for a custodial facility. This application has been made on behalf of the Department for Education, Children and Young People. The proposal is for a custodial facility with 24 beds. The development is made up of several buildings, four of which are accommodation buildings that replicate a home-like development. Also included in the building is an education building, recreation building and cultural centre. The development also includes car parking, internal roads, fencing, recreational facilities, a cultural courtyard, sports oval, bike truck, I believe, a pump track and basketball court. The application also includes an illuminated sign, which is also discretionary. The site at the moment is used for a gym for ex-race horses. There are some surrounding uses, land uses, the majority of which are either in the rural or agriculture zone. There are 4 properties in the rural zone to the western property boundary. The middle highway forms the northern and eastern boundaries, and Russell Range Road forms the southern boundary. Now, the property itself is entirely within Southern Midlands Council area. The road, Rifle Range Road, is within Brighton local government area. So you will note that there is no discussion about the road or access onto the facility because it is not within our council area. So we can just have a look at a few key things. So access will be, the main access will be from a new entrance off Rifle Range Road. There is an existing access from Brighton Road, and that will remain for the existing rural use, being the ex-racehorsing adjustment. Security, obviously it's a custodial facility. There will be a 6-metre high fence with which will be anti-climb, with a roller drum top. Obviously this also requires an area around the fence to be sterile, and broader fencing around the property will be farm-like. Operating hours, the facility will operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've talked about the number of young people that will be within the facility. Number of staff is averaging about 100, possibly an additional 40 during shift change around. The application has been assessed for bushfire. We've talked about heritage. The property is not heritage registered and it's not in the heritage precinct. Therefore, it does not. The application of the heritage code doesn't apply. So during the consultation period, when the development application was on public exhibition from 17th of November to the 1st of December, council received a total of 118 representations, which was made up of a joint statement from 16 organisations, a petition of 57 signatories, and 43 written representations, some of which were a template document, if you like, that raised the same issues. We've talked about some of the main concerns today, some of which are outside of council's decision making today, if you like. They relate to operational matters, site selection. Again, these matters are outside of our decision making process today. I'm going to just go to the rural zone and have a look at the development standards in the rural zone. So custodial facilities are only allowed in the rural zone of the Tasmanian planning scheme. They are prohibited in all other zones. The use is discretionary, as we've already discussed. the discretionary use, the design of the facility is such that there are very large setbacks, upwards of at least 150 metres from the secure area, if you like, secure fencing, to the boundaries of adjoining properties to the west, where those properties have residential dwellings. That's a very generous setback. And it reflects the model of care approach, which is home-like developments, and that model of care is based upon creating a home-like environment for these young people. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. And being able to have large views, so views of the landscape and surrounding hills from within inside the facility. That's based on the model of care.
Excuse me.
Building heights are within the standard for the assessment. We'll look at the attenuation code. I think that might be that. It's important to remember that when we're looking at the attenuation code, applies to a new sensitive use and the impact that proposed new use may have on the operation of existing uses. So in this instance, we have two gun shooting ranges that are within the attenuation code. That is the only land use which is triggered by the attenuation code. And a noise assessment has been provided with the development application documents. The assessment recommends some mitigation measures to help reduce the sound of gunshots from within buildings. And some of those mitigation measures are having a constant heating and cooling system that maintains a constant background noise. We've also, a question earlier was about the building standards of the facility. It's likely to be double glazed, possibly triple glazed, depending on what the building standards are. But as I'll just reiterate, that the noise assessment confirms that any noise from the gun club can be mitigated inside the development. We'll move on to the scenic road corridor, a very small section of the development to the southeast corner is within the scenic road corridor, and the development is principally the sign and some car parking. However, it's council's view that it would be visible from the scenic road corridor. Therefore, we have made a recommendation in the conditions that an extra strip of buffer planting is provided in that area just to reduce the visual impact from the Midland Highway. I'll move now to the conditions. It is concluded that the proposal meets the standards of the zone and the code of the Tasmanian planning scheme, then it is recommended for approval with conditions. The conditions are standard conditions, apart from the landscaping plan and the weed and disease management plan. There are several weeds on the property, and we have included the management of weed and disease post-construction and pre-construction. All other conditions are standard conditions.
Questions, clarifications from councillors?
If I may, Louise, I don't see where there's EPA involvement regarding the odour coming from Tas Botanicals.
That's right, because it's not really within our municipality, the odour. It's not, the facility is not within Southern Midlands Council. And as we've already discussed, Tas Botanicals, the facility, is outside of the attenuation zone.
Well, I have a question for you that follows on from that one. I noticed that there are scientific research projects in place which are based heavily on cannabis in medicinal and food use. And it is anticipated that there will be an increase by 2/3 of what we've already got. So that would mean that the southern plant will increase its production by 2/3. So would it then be considered because of the odour or not?
No. So the attenuation code does not apply, and we looked very vigorously at the attenuation code. There are several uses listed here which have different setbacks for a level one activity, and Tas Botanicals did not trigger any of the attenuation code, including chemical works, because it is over 500 metres from the property. If Tas Botanicals were to increase production, again, it's in Brighton Council's authority area, not ours.
Through Mr. Mayor, Councillor Campbell, it's currently it's a level one activity, so Brighton Council is required to manage that. If it's a level two activity, the EPA has responsibility. The production increase may be a threshold that tips it into level two. We can't determine that. That's not for us to determine. Certainly, as Louise has mentioned, it's been a topic of representation, but certainly council is satisfied that, you know, that it meets the code.
So can I ask about this attenuation?
Yes, one question, did you want to ask?
Is that because of a technicality insofar as it falls in Brighton's municipality as opposed to ours? If that artificial demarcation wasn't there, would that be part of the attenuation
area? No. So when we're making our assessment, it doesn't matter whether Tas Botanicals is within Southern Midlands or Brighton, the attenuation code still applies. But so the attenuation distance is taken from the activity boundary of Tas Botanicals to the property boundary of 466 Brighton Road. So it doesn't matter what LGA it's in.
So given the fact that it sits in Brighton and it's saying it's not in our backyard, we can't do anything, which I understand. Mm-hmm. However, how does this, obviously it clearly impacts something that's right on the border, how does that then influence our decision making, given the fact that it's not black and white in terms of the community's perception of this, albeit it might be a line on a map somewhere? And how do we factor that into understanding whether or not the planning rules and regulations have been adhered to were it not for this artificial line on a map somewhere?
I'm not really sure of your question, it's a bit long.
I'll write it down for you now because you seem to have attention problems at times. It's pretty clear. If it weren't for the line on the map, Brighton versus Southern Midlands Council, how would we determine, would that influence whether or not the planning rules have been applied in the correct stance?
I can assure you that the planning rules have been applied correctly for this development application, and it doesn't matter whether TAF Botanicals is in Southern Midlands or Brighton. There's no invisible line in terms of the planning scheme. There's no differentiation. The only difference is in terms of this council cannot place conditions on development within other council areas. Okay.
So how does that work in practice, given the fact that that does, particularly from a layperson's perspective, influence the decisions that we're expected to make today?
My response would be, if you're talking about the odour from TAF Botanicals, it is not something that this council can address. It's Brighton councils.
Even though it affects something within our backyard?
Yes.
Through Mr. Mayor, council's aware that Brighton Council will get between 6 and 10 complaints a week about odour from that facility. Mm-hmm. That odour extends well down through Tea Tree, into Brighton, up to Ballyhooly Road. Odour doesn't know boundaries.
Mm.
So the issue, as we've said before, is that this rests with the other LGA to look at that as a lawn activity, maybe get in and look to mitigate that. Mm. You know, put some pressure on that producer to, you know, remedy, avoid, mitigate that atmospheric emission to a point where there's no issue, there's no effect.
So should that be part of the conditions of our approval, that we approach Brighton and say they have to mitigate that or not?
We have no ability to impose conditions on activity outside of our LGA. It's ultra virus, we have the ability.
So you're saying that if the cannabis plant wants to increase by 2/3 and they have to go in over into the Southern Midlands municipality, it's quite okay?
No, if it's something to review, it would require them to go through a development approval process.
So if they were to build something in Southern Midlands,
and if they increase their production by 2/3, as Grant's indicated, become a level 2 activity,
possibly.
So playing devil's advocate on that point, if they do go down that path and increase production by 60%, it's a Brighton problem, but it will obviously affect Southern Midlands residents. Does that mean they have no say in terms of objection because they don't live in the Brighton municipality?
No, no. So anyone can make an objection or a representation against any development in Tasmania.
That's right.
But I think that this discussion is all based on an assumption, based on a comment that Councillor Cairns made. There's no
It's not an assumption. It is in black and white. Online.
Anyway,
I think
you got your answer there, Councillor
Cairns.
Councillor
Pisty,
or anyone else have any questions that they want to ask?
No questions, just a comment a bit later.
All right. And Deputy?
Well, the only question I had was to do with the noise from the gun club. Have we received complaints from residents in this last 6 months or so that we've had to take, that noise becomes an EPA?
No, we haven't had any complaints of noise from the gun club.
Right, okay. Thank you.
Then I've got quite a few questions to go with. Climate change, forecasts are saying weather patterns are going to change, get different. Fires are going to get hotter, move through the area faster, winds are going to get stronger, average wind expected to be 100. I'm coming to that.
Well,
so, consequently, if you get a fire, has that all been calculated in to the plan?
Yes. Because the facility is a vulnerable use, or it might be a hazardous use, I can't remember off the top of my head, Councillor. But the bushfire code has been triggered in this case, and a bushfire assessment and a bushfire hazard management plan forms part of the development application documents. So yes, it has been taken into consideration
and
approved by TASFIRE.
And when it comes to landscaping, to hide the buildings, that the trees are not going to grow overnight to the required height. And I have a question that's linked to that lot. Artist impression, when you go online and look at the artist's impression, it looks like a jar, it is a jar.
I think that's a comment.
So,
So
in relation to that, why has it been put that way that we haven't had a discussion on making the buildings more compatible with the heritage style buildings around the area when you've got whopping great height for a single level dwelling?
Okay, so the height, the acceptable solution for building height in the rural zone is 12 metres. Okay, so you could have an agricultural shed 12 metres high. Okay, all of these structures are under 12 metres in height, so they are acceptable.
So in the accommodation buildings you're putting giants inside.
Don't need to respond.
All right.
And there is another acceptable use for that land, and that is horticulture with hydroponics growing food.
We can only assess the application that's been submitted. That's right.
Can I ask a couple of questions? Just in relation to traffic movement, the issue for me is from the roundabout at the top of, because it's right to know, isn't it? That road there, and then you go down to right, Rifle Range. That road, I would imagine, would be carrying significantly more traffic, or will it be carrying significantly more traffic as a result of this development? And is that road going to be able to cater for that?
Yes, so obviously there will be an increase in vehicle movement, and a traffic impact assessment has been provided, and also our council's municipal engineer has also reviewed the traffic impact assessment, and that assessment document concludes that the increase in traffic can be accommodated in the existing network of roads.
Okay. Any other matters councillors want to raise or clarify?
I'd just like to make a statement, and I agree with the gentleman over there. Apologies, I forgot your name. But I think I feel very conflicted in this decision, as not a single person has been supportive of this facility going into their backyard. And I don't feel that, I feel my responsibility first and foremost is to the constituents of the municipality and not to the planning scheme here.
I'll move.
I can second it.
So the motion is for the meeting now is that the recommendation that in accordance with the provision of the planning scheme that the development application for a custodial facility owned by the Crown should be granted, and the conditions what to apply to that are set out in the following pages. I think it's from 70 to 70.
Conditions number 1 through to 27.
1 through to 27. That's what you are moving, Councillor Blackwell, and seconded Councillor Fish.
Correct.
We've had the sufficient clarification and question time, so look, I'll put the motion, I think, at this stage. Unless there's any other matters that councillors want to question.
I'd just like to say, Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'm voting against the motion. I think this has been a very difficult decision for everyone, but on balance, I think we've got to consider the people that are involved, not only in the area, but the people that operate the facility. This is a project of the state government that is 5 years behind. They've suddenly decided to rush it through because of the opposition in Parliament. But to me, it clearly is in the wrong place. I think the operation of the Tazalt Lloyds operation and the operations and noise from the gun club are far from conducive to rehabilitation of youth.
Very good.
And I think it's going to be, should this get passed, would be disadvantageous to the youths that they intend to place there. And I think very little thought has gone into the consequences of such a facility.
Very good.
That's all I have to say.
I think that the planning, obviously, if it's refused, council will have to.
Well, I unfortunately.
Planning reasons, and I think your planning reasons are related to odour and odour principally.
I accept that, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I do not cannot base my objection on planning grounds.
No. Very good.
Only on youth grounds.
Did you want to say anything in relation to it, Councillor Miller, in respect to
no, I think planning grounds? Or Tony said it far more eloquently than I could, and I think, you know, it's more a vote of conscience here, and I think that community has also raised some significant doubts, at least in my mind, around parts of the Act, which I'm not an expert in, but would suggest we should investigate that before approving it.
And I totally agree with Tony.
If I may, Mayor, look, it has been, I think we've all been very conflicted. We've been meeting flat out about this. It is unfortunately a planning. They do have to go through a lot more approvals before it goes through. They have to do permits from the Building Act. They have to do developments. And yes, it's probably not going to be a favourable decision to do this, but I also, as a councillor, abide by the planning authority under this role. And I just feel that should there be any conditions that we don't have here, they may very well come up at a later stage in an appeal, and that is up to the people to decide. It's not up to us. And the model of care, we can't comment on that. A, we don't have one, and B, it's not part of the planning authority. So that's why I voted the way I have.
Yeah, well, I'll add a comment.
Well, we haven't really asked for the votes yet, but yes.
It lacks compassion and consideration. You read through it and it's confusing.
Oh. All right, well, look, councillors, the motion's before us. I put it. Those in favour?
Aye.
That's Deputy Councillor Blackwell. Councillor Fish. And is that it? Yeah, and those against?
Aye.
I think the issues for me are the planning issues, and we have to follow those planning issues through and make a decision that relates to that. I do appreciate the concerns that other councillors have in respect to what goes on in this place. We're obviously moving from a situation where Ashley was a disaster and full of tragedy, and there was a definite need to build a new facility. I think it's apparent to me that the government has listened to the issues that were raised in the inquiry into sexual abuse in institutional settings, and they have done a fairly decent job in providing, in a hard time of finances, a lot of money to build a state-of-the-art facility. The thing that I am well aware of, and I think we all are well aware of, that this is a big site. This is 80 acres in the old.
Two soldiers it is.
It's about 20 golf courses at Baghdad. It's a very big site. And the buildings in it are in a confined area, and there's a distance between the building's perimeter and the roads. And I'm fairly confident that with the appropriate landscaping that is going to be developed, that the actual visual impact of it is going to be ameliorated to a point where the pastoral and rural nature of that zone or that area will not be unnecessarily interfered with. And I think that providing a facility for the most vulnerable people that we have, and providing really a type of care which has a deep level of understanding of what's currently needed for young people in our community, is something that we should keep before us. So I know it's very tough for people to vote in favour of this, and it's hard-nosed to some extent, but I think voting for it is the right decision. So I'm going to do that. And I thank councillors for all the effort, and particularly thank the members of the community who participated and provided their input into it. Rest assured, it's not falling on deaf ears, and with a maturity we've faced this decision.
Before we move on, just acknowledge the work that Louise is committed to. It's been a challenging application, and I am aware of the amount of time and effort that's gone into considering the issues and reporting, and I think we can acknowledge that as well.
Louise and Grant as well.
And Grant, supported by Grant.
All right, thanks, councillors. Look, in relation to the next matter, this is in respect to the municipal seal application.
Mr. Mayor, I must, as I indicated to you, I must be excused. I'm sorry. I have family commitments in Hobart, and I now have time.
Thank you.
Wishing everyone all the best for Christmas. Yes. And councillors, and you to start.
Thank you. Cheers, Tony. Do I have a leader that has those applications of a municipal seal be received and made? It's been moved by Councillor Campbell, seconded by the Deputy. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. This concludes the session of Council acting as a planning authority.
A break for morning's afternoon tea or sweat, sleep boats.
Oh, thanks, Pat.
Yes, I'll move. Drink of water.
Second, Councillor Campbell.
10 minutes for submission, gentlemen.
I missed his last name. Pat Burton or something?
Yeah. It's just out front if you want to go to see
James Nye. Nye?
N-Y-E. James is the one I missed.
N-Y-E. Nye. No. And his mother. Where?
Support for what?
Motion to
I'll move.
And I'll
Just before we resume our meeting, an incident which occurred prior to us suspending the meeting. I believe Councillor Campbell may have made an inappropriate or did make an inappropriate comment to Councillor Blackwell, which has probably been on the recording, but I think Councillor Campbell is or will make an apology for the purpose of the record.
I apologise for the comment.
Thank you, it's appreciated.
Thanks very much, Councillor Campbell, and thank you very much for accepting the apology. And hopefully a similar incident won't reappear.
So you're going to edit the recording, are you? Or?
I'm not sure whether it was recorded or not.
I didn't hear anything, but that's not so, it didn't happen. So.
I think we commence at 81 of 127, is that right?
Yep.
That's correct.
This is the Manager of Infrastructure and Works.
I'm here. This was a pretty short report. This, given the short turnaround from last meeting, not too many other advances have occurred in the works area, so I'm happy to take any questions or
Yes, Councillor Campbell.
I have some questions, yes, I do. And thanks for getting the road sealed from the bid. And the Dunstan Road coming up the hill is starting to show signs of breaking down in the gravel section. So it would be good when next year comes and you do the 1.7. But going along that road, where seal goes to gravel, there are some edges forming along the width of the road. Could you get some gravel or whatever to remove those nasty edges?
Is that on the sealed section or the old section?
As you come off the sealed sections, the old sections, then you have wearing away from the bitumen. But it's right away along the road on the various seals that were done to stop dust going into the houses.
Okay.
And there are also a number of piles in there, especially down Stoner Road end of Rindaston Road. And piles are in the gravel and they're also in the bitumen. Then when you go around the corner to Blackgate Road, you've got the same happening there where you've got potholes and you've got an edge along the old section of seal. Then the third question is, during Targa, a person nearly came out of Blackgate Road and hit a Targa car, but he managed to back off before he did it. And I raised it before about that intersection, or line of sight, etc. Have you followed up from when I asked the question, have you followed up with state government to request them to do something about that road?
No.
Can you follow up?
Yes, certainly can. When I have my catch-up, my usual contact there has been on leave.
It would
not be good to have a target go through there and have connection on that corner.
That wouldn't have been part of a target stage, would it?
No, it's not. That would have been just a target car travelling through.
Mm. They all went through Oatlands. I've watched them go through Oatlands.
Next, my questions. Councillor Fish?
Nothing.
Councillor?
Yeah, just, is it the council that mows the verge along Mudwalls Road?
No, sorry.
Could you, Petet, when you're having your little catch-up with them, potentially ask them to pick up the rubbish before they mow the verge, because it just destroys everything and it blows everything across the road and everywhere. So instead of one KFC box, you know, you've got 20,000 pieces of KFC box blowing across the road.
Yeah, I can see the roads out with them. I mean, if the thing's too, when it's in long grass, the rubbish, they don't serve the operators. Yeah.
I know that by the time they're mowing, it's already damaged some type thing that if they can, you know, try and pick it up before and on, it would be.
Yeah, I take the point that we have our own challenges when we're doing our own side as well, because you just, those operators can't see what's in the grass without physically walking the whole road network.
I think there's a few points where rubbish is being dumped on a regular basis, probably by the same people, and you know, it's when it goes over a rubbish bag full of garbage that it, you know, really makes a mess.
Dice art's the same. It must be the ideal distance to be able to eat your roost or your Macca's or your KFC.
Absolutely.
By the time you get the dice art,
that's near Chris's place, isn't it? Because he always complains.
It should be fairly obvious to identify this guy. The amount of KFC here. quite a large
individual.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
But yeah, he drops it within about 100 metres of each time. It's always on the road, so.
Yeah, no, I haven't
raised
that before. And I know how the roadside contractor, always in South Bay, they've got the contract there. It is a requirement that they are to do a visual check, a drive-through, before they slash an area.
Yeah.
How they get the police by
DSU
who administers the contract.
Look, the KFC box is probably not the biggest issue, but when it's the household rubbish of three people's house or whatever it is, makes a big mess.
Yeah, no,
that's all, thank you.
Deputy? All right, well, that is
an old move for motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Campbell. And a second one?
Michael Kevin. Just before we move on, I'd just like to thank Dave and the team. Great job around campaigning with the footpaths and stuff and removing the bus stop and finally getting the bus shelter and stuff. So it's certainly been well appreciated by those who have to stand in the rain waiting for the bus and the community. So well done to you and the team.
Thank you, Councillor. It's good to get some positive feedback. You know, it's a team effort. I always maintain, you know, I'm only the driver there. You certainly the team being Andrew
Mix
has certainly played a big part in that as well.
Yep, pass on that. Thanks to everyone involved. Thank you.
Very good. Nice to hear that, Councillor. So the recommendation is that the infrastructure work report be received. Information noted. I've got a mover and a second. I've got the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
As against, the ayes have it. Thank you. We then go over to the natural resources.
I can move that.
Unit.
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes,
Jerry
Good. So that's moved by Councillor Fish and seconded by the Deputy. Any discussion from the NRM unit report? No? Very good. I've got the motion. Those in favour?
This is on the weeds. Is this on the weeds already? I'd just like to probably say that Maria and Mary came to Broadmarsh Hall at the last minute when we had the ABC Country Hour. They actually did a lot of talking. They were quite busy. they put a display up of all the different weeds so people could actually see them and recognise them. I also asked if they would send me the weed of the week. In 1 week, we had over 982 hits of about 7 or 8 shares of that post. So, I mean, it's hitting the mark
we're right. Opposed to it. So, you know, I'd just like to congratulate them in that effort, and maybe it's something we should do a little bit more of on the Facebook site.
Yeah, it's really good.
I mean, you can see the display in there, the picture, so they have the actual weeds there. No one took them.
They wouldn't take them, no.
And again, the information is the information is received. Thank you. Now we're back to looking at the Flamel Park development, which we adjourned from last week in the absence of Councillor Miller, who wishes to take a lead on this. So that report's before us. Did you want to speak to that?
Thank you. There are a couple of points that that came out from the original discussion, which was about approving the final concept design for Flower Park. One of them was the former Flower Mill building, where the discussion was, should council look at purchasing that. You'll see within the documentation, I did contact the director of the facilities branch, Department of Education, Children and Young People, and you can see that the email spread through there, which my comment was that based on their experience, they suggested it would cost to construct such a facility that an MTD, an MDT facility on the school grounds in the order of $2.5 million. It would have to go through lots of processes, through education, legal, grantland services equivalent to achieve that. And it's a wonderful looking building, really. It's a wonderful looking building. And the comment was that we could, it could be a coffee shop, it could be a range of buildings. Now, I guess if we did take that building over, there would be quite a bit of work to modify to whatever the needs might be, but would a business case stack up in relation to a Jeffrey and coffee shop? Could be a whole range of other things. But we do also, for further consideration, we do own a building that is the Community Hall that's adjacent to the precinct that does have kitchen facilities and a whole range of things, where a coffee shop could be leased by could lease part of that building, or indeed maybe the education department could advertise the leased portion, still use the building for certain things, but could lease it without us taking ownership and covering depreciation and a whole range of things. So there are a few options there, and I guess it depends on the council on the way forward. But I'm not sure whether you'd like to discuss that before I go into the dog park as the other option that I was asked to consider as part of this report. So, Flower Mill building.
Yeah, I'll probably jump in here. So I guess what's unusual about mentioning this as a commercial facility, whether it's a restaurant, coffee shop, you know, whatever that sort of form takes, is just an overwhelming support from anyone you talk to, and they're quite surprised that the council doesn't actually own it already, in fact, in many cases. And I think they feel that, you know, Sub-Campaigner in particular is crying out for some sort of, you know, additional infrastructure in that commercial sense, whether that is a restaurant, you know, as a pizza shop, whatever someone who wants to take it on wants to make of it. A lot of people have, you know, have mentioned that the cost of constructing a facility for the school would be $2.5 million or thereabouts, and a lot of people, local businesses, have sort of volunteered their time in order to try and, you know, construct that for the local school and bring that cost down. So I don't know if that's practical or achievable in terms of, you know, mitigating some of that cost and using some of that community resource, whether it's at a discount or whether it's as a in-kind contribution to that. So I think, you know, there is quite a significant amount of support, and even from people that, you know, generally, you know, wouldn't, you know, approach me or have an opinion on that sort of thing. So I think there is a lot of interest there, and I think a lot of support. I note some of the comments here around, you know, saying it's inappropriate for council to establish or facilitate a competitive business in the area. I mean, at some point, there are going to be commercial facilities in Campania, whether the council's the landlord or someone else is a landlord. I think that's inevitable that there is going to be competition at some point. I mean, the Campania Tavern is a pub at the end of the day. It's got a different clientele from a coffee shop, if that's what the tenant decides to run, or even if it's a restaurant. You know, I think there's enough population in Campania certainly to facilitate, you know, two businesses in there. There's also the corner shop. I don't know what they're doing with that. They seem to change their view every 5 minutes on whether that's accommodation, a shop, or I think they've just put a swimming pool in there of all things. So, you know, there is other potential competition there. But I think, as I say, I think it's a unique opportunity to take a very striking building on the way into Campania and making sure that is, you know, a centrepiece of the area, and it obviously harkens back to the historical nature of Campania, and it's probably the only building left in there that has that sort of heritage feel to it. And I think it'd be well worth and well received in order to move forward with the acquisition of that, given that most people think we already own it anyway. So I'd suggest that, you know, in order to formalise some of that feedback in the same way you've done about, you know, going about the dog park thing, is that perhaps, you know, putting a survey out there, or, you know, whatever the means is to garner sort of, you know, the wider support rather than just those who are vocal would probably be a good next step. And then, you know, obviously council can use that to inform a way forward, certainly running in parallel if we can, you know, progress the business case around this, and certainly based on, you know, if it is the 2.5 million or whatever that is, then, you know, that will also help inform a decision moving forward.
So I understand that we couldn't get the terminal unless we built a 2.5 million dollar building, is that?
Well, I think that's the estimated cost, yes.
Well, yeah, whatever, might be, yeah. Basic. Probably more, as these sorts of things go, but some, let's say 2.5 million. So that's really the deal, is it? Like, it's a bit.
Well, they're suggesting, you know, they'll give us the building for a dollar. So is that building worth 2.5 million? It's probably, you know, maybe 2 million, or probably not far off, actually. It's probably a you know, a neutral deal, I would have thought, in terms of acquisition of one asset, building the other. So it's still probably neutral in terms of cost to council from an asset perspective.
You probably would take a bit of construction or a complete establishment internally.
Oh, yeah, it's probably a bit out.
So it's probably 600,000 or something.
Yeah, so there'll be some remedial work to get in the toilets, I just
think. The next thing to ask ourselves, I guess, I suppose, is that if, you know, if we bought it for 2.5 million, how do we utilise it?
Well, you rent it out to a commercial tenant on commercial terms, so they would then, you know, utilise the building as they saw the opportunity, so there would be a rental return on that, or a lease return.
What would you say would be the rental return on that building, do you reckon?
Well, I know the corner shop at the time when it was being rented, and we're obviously going back 4 or 5 years now, I can't remember exactly how long it's been vacant, but I think that was $700 a week. So that was, you know, 5 years ago, and depending on the layout of this, I mean, if you put accommodation upstairs, maybe, you know, there's room rental, you know, you could potentially do a case around that. So you probably could reasonably ask, I would have thought maybe $1,000 to $2,000 a week in terms of rental. Like, again, it's all guesswork at the moment. But
it
again,
it needs to be the development of the building, I suppose, as well. Unless we bought it, I don't know if it'll be inside it or not.
Once we bought it, I guess you're
going to make an accommodation
place. Well, there might be grants as well that you can offset with it. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's you know, we have to do a business case, and you know, so I don't have the answers today. But you know, there is going to be a return on it in terms of leasing, in terms of ongoing maintenance. Once it is leased, that would fall to the tenant to maintain. And then you've got, you know, ratchet clauses, you know, and they probably want a long lease on it, I'd imagine. If you're going to invest in a business, you probably want a 5 or 10 year lease, so there's not going to be a lot of downtime once it is leased. You know, and if you'd start an Airbnb up top or not, I don't know. There's plenty of ways that you could make money out of that building, I think, as a commercial venture.
Can you get a grant for building acquisition? I mean, sometimes.
I don't think
too many government grants either. Stayed in federal for a number of years.
Yeah, I just wondered because, you know, that would be. Yeah. I know you can't for land because we've looked into it elsewhere, but you know about buildings. So.
But I'd imagine if you're remediating it and doing the outside up, you can probably get a grant for that from Heritage somewhere along the line. But again, I don't have that information to hand. But I think the takeaway was that there's a lot of support within that area for this. And I think incorporating that into the flour mill park, you know, it's probably quite a nice day to take the kids down there on the weekend and have a coffee while they run riot on the pickleball court and whatever else. So.
But if it's just a coffee, they couldn't get something will go on as maybe an adjustment to the community hall and a part-time coffee van. If it was something more, a bit more tangible, probably.
Well, if it was me doing it, I'd look to put a cafe in there that did sort of a proper breakfast and lunch offering, maybe an early dinner service, and then if you've got the upstairs as accommodation, you could turn that into two or three.
So is it a business case that we did in the first?
Well, I'm actually thinking your recommendation number 5 provides for exactly what Councillor Miller is suggesting. Mm. If that recommendation was adopted, I think what we would come back with initially is a little bit of a stepped, I call it an implementation plan, but it might be that the first step is possibly a government valuation, so we know whether we're talking 500,000 or 5 million.
Yep.
Part of that would then be a condition assessment. So, just broadly, what's the indicative value, cost to bring it up to whatever use it may be? Mm. And then those, this is me just thinking on the run, but we dot point this, those two figures combined is then compare that to the cost of a new indoor, whatever, MDT facility, see how that equates, and then depending on that, there's a tick or a cross, then it might go to the next step, and you could do some sort of not a survey as such, but some sort of a prospectus. Mm. Anyone interested in this? Mm. I'm just thinking on the run,
show interest in it?
Well, I mean, there's a few people that have said if it was available, they'd be interested in doing it. Whether they, you know, let's just talk to the family or not. But,
They like to write to council.
Well, I can ask them to if they want to do it. But then on the flip side, it was, you know, some of the guys that own, you know, construction businesses are saying, you know, it wouldn't cost $2.5 million. We could do it for cheaper. So again, it's what is it they actually need? Is it just a big shed with some, you know, PowerPoints in it, or is it again? I don't know.
System.
Yeah.
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 Thicknesses. Welding screens and a whole range of things. They are very rigid with their tendering process because with the car park down at Baghdad, for the Baghdad school, I did a price for us to do that, and it was $300,000 roughly, mm-hmm. and we were providing some retaining wall elements. They said, oh no, we can't negotiate with you to do that. Mm-hmm. We have to go to open tender for the whole job. And I said, well, we're there, we can do it.
Mm-hmm. We've designed it.
We designed it, we sort of lived and breathed it for quite. I said, no.
But I mean,
they're not very flexible in that space.
Oh, that's why I said it's probably, is it feasible or not? But then I guess if we look comparatively, we've just spent $2 million on change rooms in campaigning for the football club. So again, I don't know what the dimensions of that building are, but you know, that's that
probably wasn't two, because we've only got a budget of $1.1 million.
Dave, have you been involved there?
Can I just make a comment, Mr. Mayor? I'm just worried that if we were to do a cafe or something like that, very close to Sorrel, very close to Richmond, who have lots of cafes, lots of eating places. That's just my comment.
Would it compete with the hotel?
That's part of growing up as a town centre, isn't it? You can't restrict growth because it may impact a cafe in Richmond. So, I mean, and the cafes in Richmond aren't even open after 4 o'clock, so you can't physically eat anywhere anyway. So.
A bit like when they're not coming at
4 o'clock.
The only place to eat in Richmond after dark is the pub. There's nothing else.
I must have got the right day.
You get the right shirt. Having been in a number of times, if you are going to upgrade the standard of that building to food standard, you're going to have to put in a sun, you're going to have to change the plumbing, all expensive, and then you've got all your overheads that a small business has to go through. And it would be hard to get that building released from the education department. And most new businesses fail within 2 years, 2.5 years. And a men's shed maybe, but otherwise I wouldn't touch it.
Mr. Mayor, I'm against the council leasing or buying.
Okay.
No, I needn't go any further at the minute, but that's my opinion.
Through, Mr. Mayor, we have gone through a process like this. We come into middle precinct and we did try to go to tender for specialised milling and baking, and we were running a coffee shop there. We had to do it because we couldn't get anyone to take it. Cost us some significant funds out of pocket every year, $200,000 or thereabouts, and we ended up moving on from it because we got an alternative way of doing it. And I guess it is a council core business to do that, and after the coming to the middle precinct, it was challenging for us to try and make that work. Operating a private sort of business in this sort of arrangement. But what Councillor Miller is talking about is a lease. Mm. We started off with a lease up there, but we couldn't get anyone to lease it. Our options fell away and we had to do it. How long, Tim? 7 years or something?
Well, that was coupled with the visitor centre.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of wineries in the area coming up. There's a lot of distilleries. You know, they might want a retail outlet. You know, there's a lot.
Yeah, I think if it was known that the building, that there could be a way forward, someone to get the building, perhaps people might come out of the woodwork. That's what I was saying. If these people were contacting you, could maybe have a talk to council. We could see, you know, what the lay of the land is, so that it could be done by a private. Investor rather than, I understand Councillor Fisher's point, but if it was done by a private investor, well, then that wouldn't be so bad.
But you also wouldn't need, if it was a cafe, for sake of argument, you wouldn't need to kit it out with a kitchen. You'd just have to, they'd provide all the equipment for the kitchen. That would be part of their business expense. And so you'd give them the shell. they come in there and make the shell work however they want, and that's up to them to take the risk on that as a business. If they feel that they can run it, then that's fine. And if they don't succeed, then the next person comes along and tries again, and that's just...
I think the issues for council is whether or not, I think the deputy was saying this, that it's, whether it's our core business, or how deeply should we be involved in actually being an entrepreneur in that field? And it obviously is, we're probably all a bit nervous, Nellie's here, and risk averse.
But we bought property in Oatlands on the basis that the hotel might come in and buy it back off us.
That's
so,
true. I think that was a very strategic purchase. And I don't think that's lost. But other buildings come to mind, the Melbourne Motorway Hotel, for instance. If we could purchase that and restore it back to its heritage look, might be very attractive to people who want to be owning cafes.
You can't drink drive anymore, unfortunately.
Might be. But I wonder how far council should be involved in that with our resources and our remit.
But then maybe that's why we have to go back to the community and say, this is what we're thinking. Are you supportive of it? And if the answer is yes, then that's fair enough.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'd like to hear from the private investors who are around, and we can help facilitate them. Tell them, hey, look, we could probably get this for a dollar and do a deal if you had the money to do it up or build the other place or whatever, I don't know. But I think it's a partnership job.
Yeah, that's the way it'll work the best, and that way it'll mitigate our risk, but also mitigate the tenant's risk as well.
And the family is always going to be there, isn't it? I mean, it's not a question of saving the place at the moment.
But to upgrade the food stand is extremely expensive.
Someone would have to look at that and say, yes, we can do it. And I think really it's a quality of price job, but I think we could help. We could lead them to the water. If they want to drink, well then, that's up to them. I'd be lying to you about it. But look, in terms of the recommendation, I just want to get through the other one, I'll come back to it in a minute, because we haven't got to point B yet, which was the puppy park. What did you want to say about that, Abel?
In general, Mr. Mayor, I think one could be accommodated in the park. This seems to be as councillors would have submissions there. Not a lot of submissions, but it's a very short period just to get a feel. And it certainly seems that people are supportive, would love it. And we do say in our strategic plan, with the extract at the top there, investigate the off-lead dog park in Oakland's campaign. So I think that would certainly be worthwhile and look at looking at some sort of concept of that, maybe for the next budget.
Could we make point four a bit more proactive rather than acknowledge the community feedback?
Yeah, it depends on what councillors would like to do in that space.
Well, I think if you can accommodate a small dog park in that area and everybody wants it, why couldn't we do that? Is that
it would alleviate having dog mess everywhere on the footpaths and things like that. On the paths that they walk,
So again, I was just going to say, just some feedback on the dog park as well. They're quite supportive of it generally, but the two key things that keep coming up is they want separation, if possible, between the big dogs and the small dogs, and having poo bags available.
Because my dog thinks it's a big dog. All small dogs think they're big dogs. Yeah, we can certainly make that.
I'm not going to say anything. You're tempting me. look, could we just change point four then?
Yes.
To incorporate
budget submission.
Well, no, even the concept design.
No, well, that we acknowledge the feedback and we proceed to develop a concept design, incorporating, you know, separation areas,
yep,
and preparation of a budget for consideration in the next,
yep,
of a cost estimate for consideration in the next budget.
Yep.
Yeah, we're all happy with that.
It doesn't seem a big dog area. Separating the big dog and little dogs, couldn't we have certain days for big dogs and certain days for...
No.
It gets challenging.
It doesn't work.
No.
I noted somewhere in here they said something about charging private time.
I don't think that would really...
That would be a bit hard, would it? Yeah, because you'd have to have someone managing it.
Yeah, someone's going to have to be there to put money or...
And then if someone doesn't know...
So Wendy wanted to manage that, I'm sure.
And did you, Wendy? That was very kind of you, wasn't it?
I think it'll be challenging because people would turn up that didn't know, and they would be aggrieved. Hang on, this is a public space. Why can't I?
Why can't I?
So it is challenging, but we have had people down here in Kempton, and they had hurdles all set up in the small dog park, and they were having a great time. And said, "Oh, what's the go here?" She said, "Hopefully it's okay to do this. We can accommodate other dogs in the small park, but the ground that we normally use at Brighton is saturated and we can't get on them." And I said, "Well, it's great to see it used." And so it sort of worked, integrated between the two. But once you start accepting a fee for it and then blocking other people out, it's just potential for tension.
I guess, especially if there's a traveller coming through that needs to let us dog have a run.
Can I ask councillors if they are satisfied around the table with 1 to 4, and then we might just have a look at 5 to see whether or not we can find a resolution there that might...
I think that
would cover it, and what we'll just, with your permission...
Not everybody would be voting in favour of that.
Further investigate, but what the first step would involve is just a dot point plan to progress the initiative, which would be brought forward for discussion. When I say a dot point plan, what are the possible steps that we take,
the structure,
to look at how we could consider the initiative? Again, I won't go through, but who's got something in their mind?
It's just a straw man of how it could work. So the only question I've got in relation to 2 is that if we did decide that the flour mill building was to be incorporated within the overall design, how would that impact the current design?
No, that's okay. It does say within the document, if you've got it there. No, it wasn't included in these...
Because the original plan assumed we could acquire it, didn't it?
Oh, it said that we could acquire it, could explore that sort of option, because the consultants did talk to the education department about it, and they said, well, it'd be lovely, it's a great space. And so I guess it is a concept plan, but I think their recommendations in it would still fit with what we're doing here.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so did you want to flesh out 5?
I think five is fine.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of people who want to vote against 5 completely and don't want to waste time.
But if we bring them just bear with us, because that's just further investigating. It's just looking in the internal process.
We can still split it up.
Yeah.
I think Councillor Hinch and Councillor Campbell are pretty much in 5, so I don't want to put a motion that might fail 1 to 4. I think basically, can I ask councillors if they would be prepared to vote on 1 to 4 now, and then we just come back to 5 with a more defined...
I'm comfortable.
All right, well then, in relation to items 1 to 4 on the recommendation, I have a mover, do I? Yeah, Councillor... and the second, the deputy, have we heard?
Yes.
All right. So this is in relation to 1 to 4. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Very good. All right. Now, in relation to 5,
This is that we're investigating the acquisition of DEC Pleas site. That's the flower mill, isn't it? Site and building, or is it just a flower mill?
The building.
Well, I've called it the site there, but if you look at an overlay of the title of Flower Mill Park, the Education Department owns most of Flower Mill Park, and the boundary is round about where the toilet block is. So all that is Education Department, Education.
So basically, are we renovating DEC YP ground right now?
What with this?
Well, the car park sits on the side of the Education Department.
Yeah, it is part of what we'll do. The car park is on their land.
Yeah.
But what we've approved our budget to do in this financial year is to build a half court tennis and pickleball court. That's on our land.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's phase one, basically.
Phase one. Yeah. Other components are on education land, which we've got a lease over at this point in time.
Would be coming into next budget order. Yeah, okay.
So, how do you want to phrase this last one?
Well, it's really just a feasibility. It's just a feasibility. It might not be feasible, so it's just
investigating.
I'm just thinking, through the preparation of a dot point plan in terms of how this initiative may be progressed, and that would be simply us in the first instance coming back with a dot point plan as to how we might go about assessing the feasibility, viability of it.
And part of that will be the, you know, the financials, and they might not stack up, in which case it's a moot point.
But it'd be a two-step process. One is how we work through it, and then whether we get, if we get that ticked off, we then look at how we go about each step. Just not sure. I've got something in mind, but I'm just not sure how it came together.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
Say that we prepare a dot point plan as to how investigation.
And in terms of how this initiative to acquire the DEC YP may be progressed.
And that's not a commitment either, it's just an investigation.
Alright.
So it's basically
a discussion. Actually, going to adjourn and for a
subscription.
For a hearing of another day. Because I just think, I know you've got something in your head, but I think it's a bit much.
I've got a lot of stuff.
It's basically a spreadsheet, isn't it?
It's just a dot point.
It's
plan.
A spreadsheet.
Yeah, in terms of, I'll use a framework as to how we might go about assessing
the next steps,
the viability.
I reckon with number five, you need time to go and think about it and come back later and revisit it.
Yeah, I think it's supportive of Councillor Campbell's idea that we adjourn five to the next meeting.
All right, well, we can bring that plan back to the January meeting. But it's still live. It's a live issue.
Okay, well,
I'd like to say that I want to vote on doing the dot point because it doesn't, it's not committing us to anything, so it doesn't need to be adjourned.
But you might fail.
I might fail, and that's fine. And that's what, if that's what it comes out of, it's what it comes out of. So. It can be raised at the January meeting.
Well, you're in trouble if you've had a motion which is depleted
It doesn't cost anything, so it doesn't matter if you do it or not. So, you know, it's not really a... shouldn't be an issue for anyone, I wouldn't have thought.
I mean, another month is not much time to have to wait.
Well, I haven't heard a second for the motion that this point five be adjourned to the next meeting. So, do I have a second?
So, we're adjourning it.
Only point five. This gives Timothy time, the general manager time, to put some words around his brain.
I can do a spreadsheet for you.
I might bring something back and you'll laugh at it. At least I'll bring something back.
just so that we can move forward, because we've only got 20 minutes to go before we start at AGM on second.
Seconders?
Right, so we can move forward.
Moved by Councillor Campbell, seconded by the Deputy. We adjourn the discussion of point five until it can be further expanded by the GM at the January meeting. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
Well,
presumably you've got to present a dot point plan in January anyway,
yes.
It's
the
future you need to
Thank you very much for that.
All right, you're right on.
Regulatory 15.6 animals. Report. Moved by Councillor Campbell. Did you remember?
Yep.
Seconded by. Seconded.
Raised before about poultry. Has that gone into consideration?
Poultry on the road.
Yes, I am privy that it was discussed in the office, but if there's not a report, then we haven't had any poultry.
It's under livestock impounded, and moving to the second, that information to be received. Report, David, those in favour?
Aye.
And again, the ayes have been. Thank you very much, councillors. We're over now to Oakland Aquatic Centre, which is 16.21.
And I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconded by? I'll
second.
The Deputy. For the team. information received and noted.
What's driving the increase in operating costs?
But I think we did underestimate the, I think, hydro electricity Aurora charge. But I think we've been through the peak winter and all that sort of stuff too, so.
And how are you accounting for things like the bulk purchases of chlorine? Are you amortising that, or are you just booking it in the month it was purchased?
Booking straight through at the time of purchase.
Yeah.
We don't put it in stock. Sorry, Adam.
And we get recovery of some funds out of NRMA just over that period during the transition, which, with action or something.
I noticed that, because I was going to ask that, why we haven't received funds for that.
So there is more income to come in than offset there.
And is the increase in income year on year from fee increases or volume increases?
Bit of both, but certainly usage. Gives a little bit, as you walk up the hallway and you always look at how many cars are in the car park, certainly. The usage
has increased.
And school groups as well. There's certainly been a lot more school groups showing a lot more interest. Just on a new contract with the education department, early proposal for next financial year, which will see a fair increase in the income and the number of participants in the schools.
And are they paying that up front? How do they pay the contract up front, or is it quarterly or monthly? Or?
At the time, following years, because there's variables depending on the number of kids, the variable around the staff support. So, once you say a certain number, that activates the next level of charge because you've got to have another one.
So, they share that cost though?
Yes.
Information, those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it, that information is received and noted.
And I just will add, sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm sure everyone's noted the RAP
vehicle. Yes, I saw it yesterday. It looks brilliant.
Good. Who's our Rick Graham?
This is purely an information item.
Thank you, Councillor.
I'll second.
Thank you, Deputy. Information, could I ask a question in relation to whether or not I satisfy or is there a clause in the contract about getting the funding for building, updating the buildings to code?
If you might recall, we were holding off on that, and then two or three meetings ago, we came to the conclusion that's their problem.
It is. We don't care about that anymore?
We don't care.
And if it doesn't go up to code, they don't play it.
Our priority was to transfer or get, eliminate the risk.
Yeah.
And it says he's on the contract, wasn't it? So
as is.
Yeah.
And it's really then becomes an issue for the ADFA, I suppose, whether they play it or not.
Well,
it's not our problem.
No, it would be an issue for the ODFA or the member clubs will need to be prepared to play there for a start, and then it will come down to so the member clubs ensure jointly through the association, which is JLT, and I ensure that they'll take a very active interest in the buildings, quality of the playing surface.
They might have blown their powder too early, given the fact that there's going to be a pretty big stadium in Hobart that's going to need some people to play on the field. So
could
have had their new home ground.
But they certainly playing footy out there this year.
What I was led to believe was that once they got the ground, they would upgrade the ground to a standard that they could train on for the first season, and then the next season they would move on to get everyone using it.
So they had to do that with Kempton this year, so
they realise that they haven't got the time to do everything in a short period of time.
Oh, that's realistic. That information to be received and noted, I'll move in a second. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Monthly financial report. Member statements. Yes, I think Councillor Fish wanted to make a statement he indicated earlier in relation to
Councillor Fish speaking. I'm bitterly disappointed, as are a lot of other people, about greyhound racing being closed down. Dogs are most looked after dogs, cared for dogs, of any dogs. I heard of a race greyhound owner feeding the dogs steak and living on sausages and sausages and stuff. That's how dedicated they are. It's but the people I most feel for are the trainers and owners.
I second that disappointment, Councillor. Very much so.
Did they pass the amendment required to?
I think it's in the outhouse this week. Well, we'll record that as a elected member statement. Thanks, Councillor Fish.
I'll just go quickly. Two things. Tomorrow night is the Oakland. No, it's not. Friday night is the Oaklands pageant. We have got a record number of floats. And everyone's welcome to come around to Callington Park and come after 7 o'clock and have a sausage that the Bowls Club are going to be cooking. And yours truly has organised all the food, so there will be enough.
That's good. The record number of floats.
Yeah, I think so.
And the council hasn't got one.
No, the council are not participating. There have been questions raised.
That's why there's a record number. The competition's not there this year.
Oh, I see.
And Santa is ready. I've heard on the grapevine.
Santa's coming.
He's ready. Yeah.
Santa's already. He's ready to go.
He's ready. And just quickly, an update on young Mia. Last Saturday, young Mia scored 199 off 156 balls for her North Hobart Cricket Club.
I think she can't do this, child.
Not at the moment.
Why are you going to get 100
200? Well, she ran because it was 190
not out.
Not out.
She probably ran out of partners, probably. Yeah, she ran out of partners.
Is that on the North Hobart ground?
Where do they play? Do they play at the TCA?
Oh, I'm not quite sure. They would go around different, but I'm not sure what.
Oh, no, North Hobart play at the bike park.
Newtown. It's a small ground too.
And is that the extent of your time?
Yes, that's me, thanks. Thank you very much.
No?
I'm fine.
Very good, thanks councillors for your presentation there. Not just anyone really interested, I suppose, but at Kempton next Saturday, there's a truck convoy which will go to Kempton Oval and a truck show at Kempton on the Sunday. So Saturday we have the convoy and then all the trucks will be around the Oval.
So is that this Saturday or?
Saturday
and
Sunday.
21st.
Next.
This weekend.
And the other thing that's happening in Kempton too, is you can tell your fellow ratepayers and people that you might run across, is Carol's, is it Carol by Candlelight or Carol's by whatever it is, at the Old Kempton St Mary's Church, 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Sunday or Saturday?
Sunday. I think it's Sunday, I'm supposed to be doing
Yes, I might have it. I thought it was Saturday. I might be wrong.
It's the 14th.
Sunday,
isn't it?
There you go.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Okay. Councillor Mellon wanted to say something.
Yes, Councillor.
Yeah, just before I move, just on Don's point, you know, I think there's quite a few greyhound trainers in our municipality, and I think they are, you know, incensed, obviously, by this proposal. And I think part of it, as I understand it, if it does pass, they basically have to keep these dogs forever and they have no ability to rehome them after 6 years old. You know, and I think it really is going to impact the greyhound as a breed's viability moving forward. So I think it's probably, if council can write a statement in support of those guys, I'd certainly.
So do they have to, they can't rehome them?
So they're not allowed to breed with them after any more on the term, and after 6 years old they can't be rehomed. There'll be no interstate dogs allowed into race in Tasmania. So within 4 years, you know, there will be basically no greyhounds in.
Mm. I mean, my dad had greyhounds and they got the stake.
Well, it's a $60 million industry that they're shutting the door on, and, you know, a good couple of hundred people.
Do we have jobs, to start so. Flying?
We've got people out there waiting. Thank you. I overcome COVID, but there's 17 owners in the southern Midlands.
Okay.
Well, I know three of them personally, so I don't even come up a greyhound person. So.
I'm happy to move the financial report.
Thank you very much. And seconded. Are there any questions of Ms. Burley? No? Very good. Information. That's the report you received. Information note. Those in favour?
Aye.
And again, the ayes have it. Good
question,
Andy. Good work. Don't trust the general manager, but you do trust the finance director. Not sure about that. Well, I have to rush through this. I know councillors have probably paid attention to the spreadsheets, which is good, and I'm pleased about it. I think that concludes us to the point of closed session, doesn't it?
Yeah, accepting the items on the closed session.
I believe Neil.
Now it's a recommendation that we move out of process.
And I'll move.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Second.
Seconded.
Second, Councillor Blackburn. Those
in
favour? Aye. Those in favour? For ordinary meeting. Yeah. We'll now be recorded at 1:05. Thanks. And thanks.